This is the most experimental episode I have ever done. I think I'd quit coffee and I had this idea that we could do an episode where I ask questions, but my guests, they don't answer with words, they play music. Not everyone's going to get this, but I found a professional pianist who plays piano for the rich and famous and powerful. And we do two parts, one answered in music, two answered with an interview. And I'd love your thoughts on this experimental episode. I also want to thank Finn Barnaby for the time and effort he put into recording this episode with me. Enjoy the experiment. Welcome to Disruptors experimental episode. I'm a closet creative, and for years I've had this idea on the show to have answers not spoken in word, but expressed in music. I love music. And so in more than 1,000 episodes, this is the very first time I have a very special guest, an amazing pianist. And we're going to cut this interview down into two parts. And the first part is, I'm going to ask some questions that commonly come up on the Disruptor show that you seem to like, as our audience members, followers, fans. And instead of speaking the answer, Finn's going to play his emotional expression to the question. Then we're going to debrief each one. And then we're going to do a bit of a chat, not a fireside, a piano side chat afterwards. So I'm really excited about this episode. I've never done anything like it in 1,000. I bet you there's probably not a podcast in the country or the world that's done anything like this. So, everyone, this is Finn.
Hello.
And so this is Finn Barnaby. So Finn, we met on TikTok.
We did, yep.
Can you remember why you were watching my TikTok videos?
Probably just some downtime.
Yeah.
In the evening, and then I was listening to what you were saying, and I had some questions, and you were talking about finding a niche, and I was interested in exploring that, and then mentioned that I play the piano, and you jumped on it.
Yeah. So I like to take advantage of opportunities that come up, and when Finn said that he plays the, I think you're. Your flirtation line with me.
Go on. What was that?
It was, I play the piano for the rich and famous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, yeah. Yeah. You had me at that. Okay. And here we are. So, are your fingers warm?
We'll find out.
Okay. So, my first question
to
you, Finn, is expressed in music only. What is the current state of the UK?
Okay.
I'm ready for this.
Okay.
I'm very proud to say this episode is sponsored by AG1. As you know, we're more than 1,000 episodes into Disruptors, and I very rarely have sponsors. I'm really choosy on sponsors, and I only pick people that I love myself and I use myself. I have turned down loads of sponsors, but personally, I've been using AG1 for nearly 14 years myself before we ever did a sponsorship deal with them. For me, AG1 really helps with my mental focus, clarity, and overall well-being. As someone who's really freaking busy and can't always sit down and eat a million vegetables in a day, knocking back a big pint full of AG1 in the morning is perfect for me. Of course, health is wealth, and I'm in my mid-40s, I'm realizing that more and more. So if you'd like to try AG1 yourself with a special exclusive offer that I have for you right now, go to drinkag1.com/disruptors. That's drinkag1.com/disruptors and get a free year supply of vitamin D3, K2 and 5 travel packs with your first purchase on me. So one more time, that's drinkag1.com/disruptors. AG1, thanks for sponsoring the show. You are legends.
So is this a song I should know?
This is a theme from a movie. Yeah.
Right.
Cloaked and disguised.
Okay. I want to hear from you. I didn't get it.
Okay.
I was so intensely listening. I wasn't listening for should I recognise it. Yeah. I was trying to listen to the music.
Yeah.
Hit me, why did you choose this? Why did you play this piece?
So that was an embellishment of the Titanic theme tune.
Ah.
Because...
Sinking ship.
yeah. So, like you said, to express it in emotional form, that is something that I think I find emotionally what... You know, you read the news every day, listen to podcasts, get bills, and that kind of stuff. And that's the feeling that I get, is that things are going south.
Mm.
So I thought that was the most appropriate answer.
Thank you.
Yeah, a pleasure. Thank you.
Ready for the next one?
Yep, let's try it.
So, sorry to labour the point, Finn, but how do you feel about the high taxes in the UK? For me, that was moving stroke sad with some hope.
Yeah, okay. Oh yeah, I like that.
I'm looking to know from you, where's the hope in the UK tax system? Why did you pick that?
Okay, so I picked that because that was just basically the first thing that came to mind when I heard that question.
Yeah.
And that is that was my interpretation of the recent viral hit from... Oliver Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hit the Rich Men North of Richmond? Did you hear that song?
No.
So it's a huge viral hit. At the moment, I think it's got like 90 million songs. It's just him singing a guitar about the state of America.
Right.
But why it was so viral is that he just got a flood of kind of support from everywhere all over the world. And he basically just kind of expressed the music, what everyone was feeling. And so when you talked about the high tax system, there is there's a quote in that that says in the song that says, "Your dollar ain't shit because you're taxed to no end." Or it could be the other way around. And that's exactly what I felt. The more you earn, the more they take.
Mm. So. Have you found it harder with how the UK is and the taxes to be a professional pianist?
I think it swings around about. So I think like the emotion and the feeling that I get is like being dragged backwards. Like the more you try and build up momentum, the more you play, the more people you perform to, the more your success, there's always kind of this cloud over you that you can do that and you can become more successful, but the bill at the end of the year is going to be bigger.
Mm.
And I provide a service, so as you know, when you're dealing with expenses, you can offset expenses and blah, blah, blah. But if I provide a service, then the expenses aren't, I can't offset any expenses, if that makes sense. I'll offset my bill with expenses.
Maybe we need to talk then. Maybe you need to get in touch with my accountant.
No problem.
Yeah.
But... yeah. Anyway, so that's the feeling I get. Yeah. The more you do, the more they take, and that's so the less value your income is.
Mm. All right. Next one. You ready?
I'll give it a go.
Okay. What are your feelings about AI and how it will shape our future? So I'm picking up some optimism in that piece.
Yep.
Yeah. There's playfulness, slight chaos, maybe slightly on the edge of a bit mad. That's what I'm picking up.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think all of those. Yeah, definitely. There's all that's improvised, and that is something that I find really interesting where AI can lead, because when you ask ChatGPT a question, in a sense it's improvised, because you know that it, as you see, you know it gives you your answer, and it's predicting the next word. And there's been some really interesting developments with music in AI, and I'm really curious to see if it can, or what happens when it can improvise. So the music that's created with AI is kind of generated and mathematically calculated and then produced. But I'm really curious to see if it can perform live. So like if I was playing just those chords, that stuff there that with the right hand at the top of the piano, that's all made up.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see if I played the chords down here, just through the speakers or whatever, it would be able to do what live musicians do and improvise. So that really, really interests me, because it makes sense that they can make music. And there's been some fascinating, quite a long time ago, way before ChatGPT, there's been some really interesting music. I think it was David Cope that made some really, really interesting classical pieces of music. And the AI just copied certain styles.
Mm.
So the improv there, that was also all based on the chords from That's Life, Frank Sinatra.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's the thing of, if AI comes for my kind of work itself.
That's life. Yeah. If it makes me redundant, that's life.
And then there's a phrase in there that says something like pick myself up and get back in the race. And so I thought, that kind of worked.
That's fascinating. We're going to talk about AI in our non-piano section.
I like it. Yeah.
All right, great. So, next question. Are you ready?
Yep, we'll see.
How happy does money make you?
Okay.
If you love to travel like me and you understand the power in escaping the money for time exchange trap, but you just don't know how to do it, then building an Airbnb consultancy business could be exactly what you have been looking for. Right now in the UK, there is a completely untapped opportunity through helping struggling Airbnb hosts by turning around their underperforming properties and generating you huge commission payments in the process. We are going to teach you all of the tools and all of the techniques that we've learned over the last 5 years through building our very own multiple six-figure Airbnb business, arming you with everything that you need to swoop in and save the day. Minimal startup costs, zero risk, and almost unlimited potential. Sound good? Welcome to the Airbnb Consultant. contact us through any of the channels included in the studio notes to get the conversation started.
I think money does make you happy.
Yeah.
So I'm always trying to pick up the upsides of money.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let you, start.
Yeah.
Talk about this piece and how it relates to your feeling around money.
So that piece is, it's happy because it uses what's called major chords, the happy ones. But that's what most people describe them as. So it is happy, but also for me, that's a famous lullaby.
Right.
That's what I thought in that it makes me sleep easy.
Right. Yeah.
So when things are good, play a lullaby, go to sleep.
Yeah.
All right. But then we're not so good, then less sleep, more graft.
Amen. All right. Yeah. Great. Ready for the next one?
Yep.
Express your most brutal life lesson in music.
Yeah. Yes, okay. Chance you would ever get why I played that, I'm afraid.
And now you're just going to have to tell me.
It's a personal story.
Yeah.
So, again, there's not many brutal life lessons in piano playing, but there is if you try and go on Britain's Got Talent as a teenage boy
right.
And get ridiculed by 2,000 people.
And that happened to you?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, that was basically, that song, again, is just an embellishment of a duet that I did with a friend. School. We were teenagers, and we. Do you want the full story?
Yeah, yeah.
So we did we choreographed a duet where we basically played all of that, but with four hands, so constantly moving around. We were literally like going around each other, and it was nuts. You would hear a really nice piece of music, but visually you would see this crazy, crazy thing. And I can't remember how early on it was, but yeah, one of the earlier seasons. And then it was all the rage because I think it was one of maybe the first or second or third, I don't know, one of the really, really early seasons. And then at that time, at school, you show anything, you can juggle or whatever. Somebody, it becomes a phrase, you should go on Britain's Got Talent. So anyway, I think my friend or something put us in, he called up the line or whatever. We went there, you do a producer interview. And then they, deem you okay to be on TV. We got through that round. And then we went to the actual recording. And we were backstage.
Just you've gone red, by the way.
you
can trauma, feel it, can't
you? The trauma's coming back. So we went backstage and the act before us were really bad. It was a four-part harmony family that couldn't do the harmony, and the crowd just turned on them, and they went, did the shouting and the booing and all that kind of stuff. And then they come off, and it was awful watching that. And then what you don't see on TV is that I don't know what you'd call it, but there's a guy that comes in between, talks to the crowd when stuff is being set up and makes jokes and stuff like that. And I think he had obviously seen like this is what the crowd they're in for blood mode. So they bring on the piano and he goes over to the piano, starts like mocking the piano, and he's like ugh, like this, and he goes like that, and they're all laughing away. He's making jokes about it. So we walk on.
Nice intro for you.
We walk on and somebody shouts off. As we walk on,
wow.
So we're just doomed.
Yeah.
And you're insecure. I can't remember how old we were, 15, 16.
Wow.
Two boys. having really, you know, practiced and all that kind of stuff, and they're really good at schmoozing you. So they you, like, we were both interviewed before we went on for like an hour or so on the phone with researchers, like, you know, coming across as really interested and all that kind of stuff. So you go on thinking, oh, we could be the ones that do this. Anyways, you go on, you shout off, and the duet starts with just like a couple of notes, and like my friend played a couple of notes, and before I even played one, we get a buzzer, and then I like play one, and then we get another buzzer. And before, the joke was that he starts playing, and then I'm standing doing the page turning, and then I start getting involved, and then sit down, and then we have this big choreograph. So before we even got to me sitting down, three buzzers, everyone shouting off, and blah blah blah. And then you just send you home. So no. Nobody there, you know, saying, maybe it's changed now, but there's nobody there with...
scraping you off the floor and making you feel better.
Yeah, exactly. Even just a pat on the back, say, you know, sorry, but blah, blah, blah. And then it is, like, it is really interesting to watch, because one of the acts that we, on the series that we did really, really well, and was only a few, before us or after us or somewhere, and we saw him do well and we heard the crowd and it went crazy. And it's really interesting to watch, because they bring him back and then they like get his family there and they talk and they say, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to send him through the door and you're all going to erupt. He's going to come through as if he's just done it. And so they choreograph the whole thing. It's not spontaneous.
No.
And so I think seeing that as a teenage boy and going through all that kind of thing, it was for a teenage boy, I think it was awful.
Yeah.
That was the most brutal lesson.
All right, great. You ready for the final one?
Yeah. Are you ready for it,
Rob? I'm ready for it. This is the big one.
Yeah, go on.
This show is called Disruptors.
Yeah.
Play what disruptive means to you.
Okay. So this is my idea.
Yeah.
You have disrupted my kind of life in a way, by kind of bringing me on this podcast and something I would never normally do. So I want you to sit here.
Right.
And I want you to, just with maybe the keys in front of you.
Yeah.
I want you to play a few notes and try, we can do this together, and try and come up with something that you kind of like. It would be like a little jingle for a text message or something. Just something, just a collection of notes that you kind of like the sound of.
Okay.
Okay. And then
you do know I have zero.
Perfect.
Oh, okay.
And then
sub-zero.
I like it. I like it. You can poke away, do whatever you like.
Yeah.
And then I'll sit down and then give you my answer.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
Shit.
Okay. So here we do this together. It's fine.
Yeah. So do you want me to sit down?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
So, right. just say anywhere around here.
Yeah.
Right, so just kind of play around, just trial and error. Yeah, anything like that. Okay. Something like that. Okay, keep going.
No.
We're getting closer.
Okay.
Something like that. That's a little bit of bingy bingy. Something like that.
Yeah.
You
want to
do with that?
Right.
Oh, nice. And then you can finish on that one.
Oh. Do you want to play that then?
Something like that. Happy with that?
Well, I don't want to be here all day.
Okay. Okay.
Just go. Whoops.
Okay.
Yeah?
Let's do it.
Okay.
You hear that in your head? Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah. If this works, this might have to become part of the new Disruptors theme tune.
You'd be welcome.
Played with a D-strung guitar.
Okay. That was something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's all yours.
Great.
All yours. So that's the most destructive.
You've recorded that, have you, Harry?
So that's the most destructive thing, because that's yours.
Yes.
It's your podcast. Yeah.
Wow.
That was it.
That was impressive, by the way.
You're very kind.
Thank you. All right, so you up for round two?
Let's go.
Which is a chat.
Yeah.
Grab some water if you want. And feel free to break out in musical expression if you need.
Yeah.
Is there any reason why the death of the UK and the taxes, you weren't like... Harry, do you want to record? This is Rob Moore's rendition for the state of the UK.
I can see that.
Yeah. Right. So, how did you get playing for the rich and famous?
How did I do it? A lot of it started from teaching. So, where I am, I don't know about famous. Maybe powerful is probably the answer.
Yeah, because the powerful don't like to be.
Famous.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's where I live, there's, it's in the countryside, there's nice, lots of nice big houses. And I teach locally as well, so word just gets around. And then the more you do, the more you do.
Mm.
So the more you play, the word gets around. Putting stuff out online, a lot of the stuff that I do, I don't know exactly if it's exactly a USP, but it was an idea that I had, and certain venues have said that not many people do this, but I chat to guests and take requests. So I think a lot of piano players will sit and wait for people to come. I really encourage it, so I'll go and chat when people are eating or drinking, and just get a list of 50 or 60 songs.
Yeah,
and then go and play, and then. Yeah, and like I said, the more you do, it's just kind of like you with the podcast, I suppose. Mm.
So you're not out there smashing it on social media or anything like that. You just
recommended. Probably, yeah. I'm not great. I should. It's one of those things I should be better at. Especially where the area that I live in, word of mouth is very, very valuable. Mm. Probably more so than social media.
Yeah, and do you find if you play for someone, who's well off and powerful, you get people come to you that are there asking you to play for them? Does that happen quite a lot?
It's less so. I don't think I know because I just I get my inquiry, ask no questions, and.
They're powerful. You ask no questions.
I'm there to provide a service.
You knowing where they're from can help you grow your business.
This is true.
Or be selective with your clients so you can up your prices.
I'd have to think about that. The tricky thing in my work is that piano playing is an art, and it's something that I really enjoy. And so partnering that with business can often be tricky because, you're playing for special events. I play for a lot of weddings, which are really, the most special time for lots and lots and lots of people. It's when you bring business involved, when you're talking to clients and you're talking about music and you're talking about what kind of atmosphere you'd like and what's special, to then bring in money into that and business into that conversation there's always a bit of a clash. Oh, there can be a bit of a clash.
Every artist's dilemma?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. It's a bit like the cool thing about one of the things that I played recently was. Was the Oliver Anthony anthem, and he because he was so set on his art.
This is a music studio, mate.
Because he was so, he's keen, isn't he?
Not very well sound insulated, is it?
he as far as I'm aware, he turned down millions and millions of pounds because it, for him, the fundamental part of it was art and his message.
Yeah.
And so...
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Go on.
Band like Coldplay.
Yeah.
Are they artists or are they commercial sellouts?
I don't think I want to judge that. From my perspective, I would say that they're really artistic because I think what they, even though musically their songs are very basic, I teach a lot of Coldplay. Mm. People like playing Coldplay. Usually the same three or four chords, just over and over again in all the songs.
Yeah.
But there's a skill into making something so basic interesting. And if you see their concerts, they're just mind-blowing.
Mm.
And so, again, all from just a basic musical point of view, from yeah. just basic chords, then you see a Coldplay concert and you see, you know, the light shows that they do. It's unbelievable.
Mm. So the reason I use the word sellout is not because I'm trying to be controversial, but I imagine there's quite a lot of very talented musicians
yeah.
that may be frustrated.
It's definitely something that I think about a lot.
Before you answer this, do answer it. But for example, I understand, I read this, that the drummer got told to basically simplify his drumming.
Right.
Because obviously anything too fancy is not commercial.
Sure.
So actually, I'm going to push you on this.
Yeah.
Because I used to think that a band like Coldplay and Muse, who I personally perceived as more artistic and musical and experimental
yeah.
in their early 1 to 2 albums,
yeah.
I used to think, oh, now they've sold out now because they're playing stadiums and their music is dumbed down and simplified and the drums are do, 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 do. And like you said, there's a few chords. And because I love Radiohead and progressive rock, which never will do that. Okay. But then I thought, actually, there's still an art to that. Because I saw Rammstein in a stadium.
Right.
And if music...
When did you see them?
I saw them at Milton Keynes.
But when?
Oh, only like 4 years ago.
Right, okay.
Rammstein's music is not really intricate.
Yeah.
It's fairly simple. But intricate music in a stadium is not going to translate. It's sounds everywhere.
Yeah, sure.
And listening to them in a stadium,
yeah.
yes, seeing the show, not just the music, but the music, I appreciated the music so much more because I realised, one, it is very musical because it's simple, but two, anything more technical is not going to translate in a stadium. And,
sure.
and I sort of, they probably got me to change my mind about...
But it's an experience more.
Yeah, well, yeah, but even with the music, not just the show and the experience. The show and the experience are obviously amazing.
Yeah.
But you get them in through the music.
Yeah.
But I think I really appreciated more simple music as an art form
mm-hmm.
that you can predictably sell to the masses
yeah.
and still keep your identity. And so if bands go to stadium now,
yeah.
I don't really think that they're sellouts unless
right.
they're a puppet string for the... You know, the producers and the agents and the record labels. What are your thoughts on all that?
Could you sum it up in a question?
So
about sellouts?
Yeah. So you don't think Coldplay are a sellout?
I wouldn't say so, no.
No, you think that they play simple music very well.
From my point of view.
And give a great experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the dilemma that any artist of any genre, not just piano but music, has is creative versus commercial. Talk
yeah.
about that, because you must experience that. You must, on the one hand, love to be as creative and quirky as possible and do all sorts of things, but you're not going to get hired at weddings. You're not going to get the powerful people.
Sure.
You're probably having to play on demand covers of songs you don't really like.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk about that. Do you understand the question?
Yeah, I think so. But my mind goes to like, where does no come in? So at the moment,
right.
I just say, you know, yes to all the requests.
Where does no come in?
Yeah.
Oh, what's your line that you won't go beyond?
Yeah. That's where my mind goes when you talk
yeah.
about kind of being a sellout or yeah, where is that line? Because at the moment, I'll happily sit and play stuff. There are certain times where you know, it's the same songs and there's that need for, like you said, kind of being creative. I really like it when a client says, you know, just do your thing.
Yeah.
And I like quirky stuff. So if they were saying like, oh, can you play like 90s disco and stuff like that? It'd be like, I'd be really excited by stuff like that.
Yeah.
And just stuff that you wouldn't expect on the piano to do things like that. But yeah, like I said, so then I'll be curious to see, let's say that I climbed the success ladder, I'd be very curious to see where the no came in.
Yeah.
So
what you're not prepared to do. You
mean? Yeah. So what situation would I be in if somebody said, could you play for me for a few hours and I want these songs? And I go, no, it's not.
But then what if
that's not at the moment.
What if the money was waved at you? Does that change where the no is?
I think so. Being living in the UK
and all the taxes you pay,
having a family, I think you've just got to. You've got to. Yeah. So, and I'm at a point now where I get lots and lots of bookings, but it's not only. I mean, so there's 365 days in a year, and only a few times, a handful of times a year, I'll get several requests on the same day. So if it got to a point where it was chock-a-block all the time, and then that would be where the no would start to come in. So I'd have to think about...
Do you dynamically price? So on those really busy days, do you up your prices?
Not normally.
No,
not normally.
Maybe you should.
That might happen. I think, again, it would all depend on... It all depends on demand. Yeah. But the sellout idea is a really interesting, really interesting thing. And again, going back to that Oliver Anthony anthem, which you'll have to watch, because he's just playing a guitar in a wood. Mm. What I find really interesting with him is that, for me, he shows that how much the pendulum has swung. So he says no to all this money, and he he reads the Bible at the beginning of his performances now. And he's labeled like a rock star. And I just find it so funny and so interesting how maybe a couple of decades ago, you have like, it's cool and it's a rock star. If you've got loads of money, you paid loads, millions of pounds from a record company, and it's, you know, screw the establishment and all that kind of stuff. And then 20 years later, the rock star is the guy who says no to all the money and reads the Bible. it was just something I observed and just thought it was really, really interesting to see, see where we are now.
Mm. Anyway. Harry, maybe we'll move this question straight after the music. I'll leave it up to you. So how did you feel playing to questions? Did you find that a challenge? Was it easy for you? What's it like compared to your normal jobs?
So,
have you ever done anything like this before?
Absolutely nothing like this. My style at the piano is really kind of freestyle. So if we had to re-record all of those things, I would play my same responses, but they would all be different. Mm. They'd all be based on the same songs, but they're all different. And I kind of went for that vibe. So instead of like meticulously planning the answers, I would just kind of think about what to perform, and just. Within the kind of style and theme of freestyle, just wait and see what idea comes in my head and just go with that one. Not overthink it.
No.
And so what you kind of saw there, my responses were just kind of organic, just, you know, fresh and just spontaneous.
Yeah, which is how I like it.
Yeah,
organic, fresh and spontaneous. I like that. Let's talk about AI in the music world then. I mean, it's changing things up. It can write music. Are professional and session type musicians a thing of the past? Mm-hmm. How's it going to change the world in specifically the music industry?
The music industry, or kind of my kind of.
Well, talk about world. Both. Yeah.
Okay. So in my world, I, again, I'm really curious to see, and I think there's a path where. It could possibly be to my advantage, because it might be that every venue now, or every do or event, can have live piano music, in a way, you know, AI music, but the premium will be for the human to come and do it.
Right.
So that's like my hopeful world.
Well, that could be a robot in the future.
Even if it is a robot, then you...
But the double premium is double the human.
Yeah. So there's a potential
added. But you've hit something on the head there for everyone listening in their niche. Mm. AI becomes the standard level.
Yes. Yeah.
Human becomes the premium.
Yeah.
You could up your prices significantly.
Yeah, so I think that's like the best case scenario.
Yeah.
But I think it always comes back to that. I think it always comes back to exactly that theme, is that AI will probably replace most things. I do a lot of teaching, make it super, super easy for people to learn to play the piano, play whatever they like to learn. At the moment, you could probably do that. If you had the kind of know-how, you could probably do that with ChatGPT. You could probably lay out what you want to learn and get it to guide you. And obviously, there's loads of YouTube videos that you can watch of tutorials and things like that. Doing it through understanding instead of just kind of copying what you're doing on YouTube, it makes a massive, massive difference. Mm. So again, like all the stuff that I play, because I can only do freestyle stuff because I understand what's going on.
Yeah.
So you don't get that from YouTube. Mm. But so I think that's the underlying theme. So with the AI stuff, even with teaching stuff, there'll be plenty of people that'll be able to learn to play the piano via AI. But like you said, the premium could be, or hopeful, that it's the human that has the premium.
Mm.
We'll see. There was a second part to the question, was there?
No, I think you answered it.
Two? Yeah.
I think you're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
You, do you think about that a lot?
AI?
I know you think about AI a lot, but do you think specifically about when you're doing, be it a podcast or like a, would you call them seminars that you do?
Yeah, events. Yeah.
Events, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever picture kind of people going to a property seminar or an event and it's just AI on the screen and an avatar and that kind of stuff and competing against you?
I mean, I think about this a lot because it's my job and I think a lot anyway. There have been some events that have done in America with the speaker as a hologram on the stage.
But a hologram of a real person.
Yeah, of a real person.
Yeah.
And so...
That's pre-recorded?
Well, it can be. They can be live.
Yeah.
And they're in their home or somewhere else.
I see.
Essentially like a 3D green room, not green screen, and that hologram is projected, which, you know, I guess is the hybrid between live and AI, where, I mean, there's no doubt robots are going to be able to run seminars in the future and robots are going to be able to be programmed. So, for example, we're getting a Rob Mentor, we're getting a bot created, which will find all my content I've ever put out on the internet.
Yep.
And it will be like ChatGPT version Rob.
Yeah.
And you'll get Rob answers.
Yep.
And so if I was, like you asked me, oh, that could be difficult for my industry. Why would they need me? But I mean, one-to-one mentoring with me is 50 grand. It might go up to 100 grand. And also maybe 100 million more people will gain access to the Rob Mentor ChatGPT version that wouldn't have been able to before, because it can be pervasive across the whole internet.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely in it. But I personally still think it's going to take such a long time to replace the human experience.
Of something specifically like an event?
Of anything.
Yeah.
For example, I mean, AI is big in the sex industry, but try replacing a human with AI, you know, and that's a good analogy, I think.
Yeah.
Because if...
But do you think that that's potentially because of your age? Not about the sex thing, but the
possibly.
But when you take about the value of the human experience, lots of the youngsters.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not 21. I don't know what it's like to be 21 anymore. Maybe. Because
I was talking about this with my friends recently, because we, as teenagers, we grew up with video games. But we were talking about the differences between now video games and then video games.
Mm.
And we grew up with video games, but there was no high-speed internet. So to play a video game, everyone had to come around.
Yeah.
So you'd have
to wait for all the loading.
And then it's a massive human interaction.
Yeah, social experience.
Social event.
Yeah.
And Now, that's not the case.
No.
So it's all online.
But I think your point about therefore premiumizing the human experience surely goes into play there. Because in the end, if we become like the Matrix where we're just plugged in, I think people are going to yearn the human experience.
Is that coming from your perspective of because that's what you value? If you've never...
And my clients.
Okay.
In my niche.
But if you've grown up with that as a lesser value, if you've grown up only online...
Yeah. Okay. Two parts to this. So when COVID happened, it was illegal to run events and everyone went online. And then when it was legal to run events, nearly all my competitors stayed online and shut their live events down. Yep. Even the big ones like Kiyosaki and Tony Robbins, they're not coming to the UK, they're not doing events. And my business is thriving because of it, because we're one of only the few still doing live events.
But what's the demographic, age-wise?
Probably the sweet spot's around about the mid to late 40s. It's probably 35 to 55.
But then it's coming back to that.
So I'm gonna get to your part two in a minute. Yeah. That part I think is important. So I still think even young kids who have been subjected to the internet almost exclusively are humans.
Yep.
Like, even if someone has hardly socially interacted, surely there's going to be something biologically in their DNA that would want them to socially interact. We are social animals. Yeah. And what's the difference between coming to an event, you know, in Soho, we're in the piano bar in Soho. Mm-hmm. I walk in here and there's an AI playing the piano versus I walk in here and you're playing the piano and I get to talk to you afterwards and I get to ask you for special requests, which I know you could do with AI. And I get to ask, what does that mean to you? And we get to have a human conversation. By the way, I don't want to live in a world where that's gone.
Yeah.
I do not. So the kids can fucking have it.
Yeah.
Go, what do you think?
I think it's really tricky because, like I said, that's why I pushed you on that idea of the demographic. So, you say we're only human, but what does that mean? Does that mean that we need physical social interaction?
And I think every human does, don't they?
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Harry, what do you think? Do you think every human needs some kind of physical, social, face-to-face, touch, interaction?
That's what makes us human.
That's what makes us human, Harry.
So I agree with that. I agree with that.
But kids growing up might not. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because I think then there's a potential of the values changing. So we value that. We value it.
Or it could even rewire our brains and it could rewire. We could evolve, couldn't we?
Yeah, but then, just thinking about your example of the AI playing the piano, the questions that come up in my mind are things like, well, if you've only ever known AI is playing the piano, like, I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but there's plenty of stuff that we only ever know that's automatic, that we do automatic.
But then imagine when you get introduced to the human experience, how much more of an intense experience it could be. If that's what you've only ever known.
But then
if you've only ever known masturbation and then you fall in love for the first time.
Yep. Okay, but then does that person value the intense experience? So you were saying it's a very intense experience seeing a human play the piano, but does that person want it? Do they want an intense experience when they see the person in the piano? They just want an AI.
I think probably in general areas of life it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But in areas of life that's most important to them, I think it would matter greatly. So if you're not interested in the piano and you come into a bar for a drink, you don't really care who's playing the piano. If you love music, you're going to be straight to the piano. Yeah. You're going to talk to the person.
Yeah.
So I think in areas of your highest value, I imagine you would more value the human experience.
Yeah, but then is that...
Is an AI able to tell stories? So I mentor people, right?
Yeah.
And I've got 17 years business experience. Mm-hmm. So I've got, you know, my stock 25 answers, AI could replicate. Not my stories, not my personal felt, lived stories.
Yep.
No way.
Yeah. but I'll keep coming back to value. So yeah. Then the person who's receiving that, the person, what do they value? So do they value the anecdotes of a human, or do they just want the straight facts?
Yes. Yeah. Well, like I said, I think it depends on what you're most interested in. I imagine you in the music world would value some human interaction. I imagine you going down and shopping in a mall, you don't care if it's AI playing the piano through the speakers in the mall,
yeah.
But you probably do when you go and play for these powerful people and you see their reaction to your music. So you said, what do they value? And I said, depends on what they value most. Mm-hmm. There's things in life I don't really value, so AI can take care of that.
Okay, but to somebody else, that
what? Yeah, to someone else, their values are just going to be different. Therefore, what they value,
yep.
Where the human interaction would make a big difference, mm-hmm. would just be some in a different niche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but then I'm thinking about then the lifetime of that niche. So there are people that like. I don't know, wearing top hats and long coats and that kind of stuff that was totally the norm a while back, and then the niche goes smaller and smaller and smaller until eventually it dies out.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in looking into
which
the
is
future.
Normal.
Yeah. Mm. But I'm interested in looking into, as thinking about the future, and again, like say, yes, there will be people that value a human, but then the question is how many people? Is it a smaller amount, and
absolutely.
Then does it eventually die out and die out?
Yeah.
And the same thing with you. People listening to your stories.
Yeah, and that is normal.
Yep.
And just because AI is the current disruption doesn't mean there wasn't one before, because the internet was a disruption.
Yep.
If you think about books in the library and then how the internet changed that.
Yeah, it totally killed stuff.
Yeah. But then it birthed so much more.
That's true, yeah.
We wouldn't have met without the internet.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's just, I think it's just evolution. Of humanity. Obviously, the internet, the internet does evolve, not in the same way the human evolves, but the internet evolves, doesn't it? Speed is one example. Yeah, so I just think it's natural human evolution. And I think people sometimes, if they're a bit scared, will look at AI like, well, this is going to completely change the game, and in a really bad way. But automation changed how cars were built. And Henry Ford essentially created the automation of making cars on the factory line. And then all these people who would hand-build cars are like, well, my life's over.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Now you've got to become a designer.
Sure.
So whatever gets evolved out, because species get evolved out.
Yeah.
So whatever gets evolved out, you just, as an entrepreneur or as a creative, entrepreneurial, opportunistic thinker, which you can be employed and still be one of those. Mm-hmm. Okay. What niches is AI killing? And what niches is AI opening up?
Sure.
Yeah. All right, should we do a quick fire round?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. So generally works about 15 seconds per answer.
I'll try.
Okay. How do you master an instrument?
Motivation is all you need. Just that's it, pretty much. You can be naturally gifted, which I don't think I am. It's all drive. It's all motivation. I teach lots and lots of people, and the ones that succeed are the ones that just are motivated. That's it.
Is there a song that brings you to tears every time you hear it, or makes you the most emotional?
Can I think for longer than 15 seconds?
Yes. You can think as long as you like, because we have an editor.
It brings me to tears or...
Makes you very emotional. Maybe you don't cry, but makes you very emotional.
I think I would need a very, very long time to think about that, to give you one answer. It's a bit like Desert Island Discs. But so I'll just come, something that comes to mind is probably Country Roads. Just because my daughter absolutely loves singing it, and we sing it, and I play on the piano, she sings it. Mm. Okay.
Great. The most underrated musician, in your opinion?
Oh, me.
Yeah. Finn Barnaby. Yeah.
Underrated musician. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so... I would just go... Off the top of my head, I would just think about what's musically interesting. So Coldplay's basic, but they do a really, really good job of making good music from basic stuff. Tom O'Dell comes to mind, just because musically it's really, really interesting, his piano stuff. Elton John, Queen, these are kind of, these are artists that are musically fascinating of the modern day.
Yeah. Who's the most overrated musician, in your opinion?
That's mean. I don't like saying stuff like that. I think there are plenty, I don't want to name names, but there are plenty of singers, like pop stars, that I see where I just ask why. Like, they can't sing very well compared to, you know, if you go to a Broadway show. Have you been to it? Mm. Have you a favourite one?
Oh, my wife drags me to them. I couldn't say I've got a favourite one.
And you don't like them?
I like them.
Have you seen Book of Mormon?
That's the one I want to see that I haven't seen.
Okay, so
it's hilarious.
Like. Yeah. That's the one you like.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, so.
Yeah, that's the one for non theatre goers normally,
yes.
Isn't it? That, yeah.
Yeah. And it's great.
Yeah.
So if you go to any Broadway show anywhere, you have these incredible singers.
Mm.
And so I just regularly ask myself, why are the singing pop stars that can sing but aren't, you know, amazing?
Yeah.
And their songs have been written for them.
Yeah.
How has this happened?
Yeah.
What? It doesn't make me angry or anything. It's just really interesting human experiences that these people are incredibly successful. And there are many people that do what they do with far more skill and are far more impressive. But, I don't know, serve coffee.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm. Anyway. All right, so I have two more questions.
Yeah.
These aren't the 15-second ones.
Okay.
And one is, you surprised, stroke, shocked me earlier because you said that playing the piano is much easier than people think or are led to believe.
Yeah.
Do you still stand by that?
Yeah.
Tell us then, why is it so overcomplicated and why do you think it's easier?
Because I think the traditional system that is laid out for most people. So. Do you know what a grade is? Have you heard of this?
Yes.
Grades. Okay, so this is a great example. So you know what a grade is.
Yeah.
And most people know what, have heard of grades. And so most people think that when you learn the piano, you need to take grades.
Yeah.
And that's where they would mostly go. So the YouTube or take traditional lessons and do grades. And the grade system is based on... From my perspective, is a lot of it's a rote learning, and you don't understand what's going on. You would just learn to replicate the music that's on the page.
That's the school system, isn't it?
Yes. So it's never why. And
yeah.
There's never an understanding. And if you like a really common myth is that people think you have to read music to be able to play the piano or an instrument, which is it's like categorically wrong.
Right.
There are very, very famous musicians. I think Chris Martin from Coldplay is one of them. Can't read music.
Right.
I think Jamie Cullum was one.
Right.
You just do not need to do it. The analogy that I use for people is a bit like you could learn to speak beautiful Arabic and never ever learn to read the writing of it.
Mm.
But you could be fluent in it,
yeah.
and write poetry and all that kind of stuff, but never ever learn to read. And it's exactly the same with the piano.
Right.
And so with the correct guidance, I think piano can be very, very easy to learn.
Yeah.
Because essentially, a piece of music is based on chords, which is just a group of three notes.
Yeah.
And if you spent all of your time or as much of your time as possible, working out the chords, and just spending time learning about how chords... I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
So, the grade system would go... right, this is what's called an A major chord. Learn it. So you would have to sit down and go, okay, it's that note, and that note. Okay? Right, there's three notes there. Okay, A major. And then they'll go, okay, right, now you need to do a D major chord. So you did this one, and then you have to go, okay, that one, and that one.
Yeah.
Or what was the A major one? Or was it this one? Like, you're told just to memorize these. But all major chords that, that is in most music, you can work it out by just counting. So they all have exactly the same rule. You play an A, we go back to this A major chord. If I count up four, one, two, three, four, and I count up three, one, two, three, I get my A major chord. So just by counting four and three, I get my A major chord. Come back to that D major that we've already forgotten about, or that we can't remember what the notes are, four and three, find me a D, one, two, three, four, one, two, three, and we have D major.
Yeah.
So now just by knowing to count up four and count up three, I know all of the major chords.
Right.
So that's all of them.
Yeah.
And most popular music of the last 100 years is either major chords or minor chords. You get minor chords. Are you kind of following me at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. You get minor chords. It's just the other way around. You count up three and then you count up four.
Right.
So if then somebody says, oh, I want to do a Coldplay song, and it's like there's a D minor chord in it. You find a D, you count up three, and then you count up four, and you've got your first chord. And then somebody says, okay, the next one's what's called B flat major. So you find B flat, you count up four, you count up three. And this is all just by knowing two numbers.
Yeah.
You could have spent hours, if not days, trying to memorize every single chord.
Yeah.
Or in 5 seconds, four and three, three and four.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then you put those together. So you like the really famous one is these four chords. So that there's a famous comedy band that do the four chords of pop. Have you seen that?
No.
Where they play those four chords and they sing a different song every time it repeats.
Right.
And so that one, that one that comes to mind is like "Wake Me Up" by Avicii. And that's just those four chords. But there are hundreds of number ones.
Yeah.
Anyway, so in 10 seconds or more of learning the idea about counting up a four then three,
yeah,
you can then work out four chords that will give you 1,000 number ones, or the foundations of 1,000 number one hits. So that's one very specific example of how easy it can be. So with the right guidance, because somebody could come along with exactly the same message that I've just said to you, and go, okay, so you need to learn from rote every single chord. They're called major chords, they're called minor chords, and immediately you've lost them. Mm. You don't know what a major chord is, you don't know what a minor chord is. If you forget one, you're screwed, because you don't know the rule.
Yeah.
But if you just learn four and three, three and four, you've got all of them. You've got all the majors, all the minors, and which will give you the foundations of most songs. And then within, to go a step further, within the chord, there is usually the note of the melody. So if we picked, let's do Country Roads, because I mentioned it before. So this is the first chord of Country Roads. This is the next one. This is the next one. It's a four chords of pop as well, so it's another number one with the same chords. If I do this one, the melody is here. So it's inside the chord already. It's inside the chord. Inside the chord. There's the melody. Do you see my hands are kind of moving outside? As every time I play these three notes, I don't have to go anywhere else. Yeah. The melody's in there.
Yeah.
So that's all just from 3-4-4-3 chords.
Wow.
So that's what I mean. So with the right path, very very quickly you're playing popular number ones.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
So this show is called Disruptors.
Yep.
As you know, have been a listener of the show before now being on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
What does the word disruptive mean to you?
I think this podcast is for me the definition of disruptive. I do not live in London, so coming down to London from the countryside is massively disruptive, and also it's not a negative thing. Like disruptive is a I think if you emotionally, if you say that's disruptive, maybe you might lean towards it being a negative thing, but like having a kid is disruptive. but it's the best thing ever. Mm. So to give you an example of something that's disruptive, it's definitely all of this. Mm. So, you know, coming down to London, meeting you, playing the piano, being recorded, being interviewed. It's everything outside the normal trajectory,
yeah.
I would say, to give you a definition. That works again for having a kid. Like having a kid, everything is outside the normal trajectory. Yeah. You're not going to sleep in. You're not going to prioritize yourself in those early days. You know, everything has changed.
Yeah.
So I think that for me, that's what disruptive is.
Great.
A bit my definition.
And where can we follow you, book you, get in touch with you?
That's very kind. So my website's finnbarnaby.co.uk. /performance is the for if you want to book me.
Okay, so Finn, FINN.
Correct.
Barnaby, BARNABY.
Correct.
/performance if you want to book.
.co.uk.
.co.uk. Yeah.
I'm on Instagram at FinnBarnaby, Finn.Barnaby.piano.
Yeah.
Where I will try and put stuff, which I'm not great at.
Yeah.
But I got a clip of me. I was popped over to St Pancras. Have you seen the pianos there?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
You've been there.
I had a little bash when I came down.
Yeah, good. Bash one. Yeah. Did you get a few people around watching?
I did actually. Yeah,
yeah,
it was nice. Yeah, they were all crowded. Thankfully, they all went back, massed behind me. So
yeah.
There was no pressure. I thought I was just playing to myself.
Yeah.
And then I stood up and everyone's there doing
this.
Oh,
nice.
So that was nice.
Yeah.
I think my website's the best place to go.
Yeah. Finn, thank you very much.
Yeah,
it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, no question.
Thank you.